Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's the first lesson appointed for today, beginning in chapter 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of our God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dearly loved by God, did you realize that today is a holiday? Martin Luther wrote in his large catechism, the word holiday is used for the Hebrew word Sabbath, which properly means to rest, to cease from all labors. You are here this morning to rest from your labors, to find rest in the rest that is only in Jesus Christ, our Savior. You all noticed that our first lesson is the third commandment. It's not the first time on Mount Sinai where we read these words, but the second time. It's part of an extended history of Israel that Moses shared with the children of Israel shortly before not he, but Joshua would lead them through the Jordan River and into the promised land. Moses reviewed for Israel the word of the Lord, including the commandments that he had given them. Part of that third commandment that Moses reviewed for Israel about everybody taking it easy on Saturday doesn't really apply to us, because that was really part of the ceremonial law as well. It served a different purpose that has been fulfilled in Christ. And so that literal part of resting from all physical labor on a specific day is no longer part of the third commandment for you and for me. But the real meaning of the commandment that Moses gave to Israel does apply to us, as Luther shared that meaning with us in the Catechism about the third commandment. What does this mean? It means we should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching or His word, but regard it as holy and gladly hear and learn it. The key there is regard it as holy. Regard that commandment and the good news that God has rescued us from the slavery of our sin, as He rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt, that part of the commandment, that rest, is ours in the Word of God. Now, the rest that we have in Christ is holy in itself. Nothing we do makes it holy. But we want it to be holy among us. We want to sanctify that holy rest, to set it apart as something for us. And we do that whenever we are in God's Word. And so every time you and I hear God's Word, every time we learn the Word of God, especially the Gospel, we are observing the Sabbath day. We are observing a holy day. A holiday. So, happy holiday. This holiday is a rest worthy of contemplation. Well, see, first of all, that this contemplation requires our full attention. And secondly, that this contemplation requires the Word of God. As I said, the rest that we have in Christ is holy in itself. Nothing that we do makes it holy. But we want it to be holy among us. And how do we do that? By occupying ourselves with holy words, with holy works, with a holy life, by contemplating that rest. And this contemplation requires our full attention. As we want to give God's Word our full attention, we realize that there is no one day on which we have to do that. The Apostle Paul made abundantly clear to both the Romans and the Colossians that there is no one day more special than another day for contemplating the works of God. There are no festivals or seasons or anything else that requires us and to do God's Word or do our contemplation then and only then. The contemplation of our spiritual rest, that forgiveness of sins, that remembering that we were a slave and that the Lord God brought us out of our slavery with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm on the cross, is something that we need to contemplate with our full attention each and every day of our lives. No one can judge us as to when or how or where we contemplate God's Word. And the reason is because we are free in Christ, but the reason is that such contemplation is not a mere outward action. The Sabbath is not the total cessation of all labor. It's not forgetting to love my neighbor when they are really in need. But that's not true just now. That was true also even in the Old Testament, as Jesus pointed out to the Pharisees who accused him of breaking the Sabbath by plucking a few heads of grain as they walked through the fields. Keeping the Sabbath day is not walking or running or working or doing anything so that the Puritans don't throw me in the stocks because I wasn't obeying the Sabbath day by not working. Observing the Sabbath is an inner thing. It's with my whole heart and my whole mind and my whole soul to contemplate God's will for my life and God's gracious salvation and redemption that He has given me in Jesus. It is contemplating, as the disciples preached on Pentecost, and the people said, we hear them in our own languages proclaiming the wonderful works of God. How do we keep the Sabbath day holy? By contemplating in our hearts and minds the wonderful works of God, especially the work that Christ has done for us. This requires our full attention. Now, obviously, ceasing from work, or ceasing from recreation, or stopping other outside activity is going to help us, isn't it? It's going to enable us to concentrate and to contemplate what God has done for us. As a practical habit, one of the ways that we do that most regularly in our freedom is to attend the divine service. To come together with our fellow believers, we hear God's Word, we preach God's Word, we sing, we pray, we study God's Word, we do all of those things, and we contemplate on Christ. You are here today because you know that the work of Christ is worthy, that rest that we have, that spiritual rest in the forgiveness of our sins and the removal of our guilt and the assurance of our eternity in heaven is something to not just think about in passing, but it's something to contemplate like Mary. Remember, she kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. And that's what you and I do. That rest in Christ is worthy of contemplation. And it requires God's Word for us to focus on. Our Sabbath rest in Christ and the Word of God are one and the same. When Jesus invites you and me, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest," what is he inviting us to do? To get in the Word, to read and to share with each other the gospel of forgiveness. It is good and helpful to cease for a time, and we find physical rest in church, some more than others, but we find physical rest in the divine service primarily through that Word that we hear. It's better even for my soul's well-being. Now you may be sitting there asking yourself and wondering, isn't he preaching to the choir? The third commandment is always one of those where you think about preaching about not being in church to a church full of people. Why am I preaching on the third commandment about holding God's word sacred and gladly, or hold it, regard it as holy and gladly hear and learn it to a group of people who got up this morning and said, "To me, God's word is sacred and I want to gladly hear and learn it"? Or to people who have taken the time and are watching it on live stream. Why do we still need to hear about holding God's word, regarding it sacred and gladly hearing and learning it? Because you know and I know that my sinful nature doesn't want me to do that. My sinful nature does not want me to hold God's word sacred, and it doesn't want me to gladly hear and learn it. The old Adam, not always quietly, is speaking into my ear saying, "You know this. It's the same old thing every week. Why are you taking the time and making the effort to sit and listen to something that you already know? There must be a better way to make use of your time or your effort." Satan is always there with the temptation to hear God's word, but to let it go in one ear and out the other. To sit in the pew week after week and nod and say, "Boy, that's nice. That's great. I agree with that 100%. But then when I have to apply it in my life, then I'm not quite so interested. Then I don't really want to do what God says. You may be aware that one of the seven so-called mortal or deadly sins is called asidia. And asidia in Latin means apathy or satisfaction. It really means, "Yeah, I know it all. I know enough. I don't really need to learn anything else. You know, I don't know any more about Jesus or God's word, or my faith really isn't any different than it was a year ago at this time, but what does that really matter?" That is the temptation and the sin that tries to come into the believer's heart to make us think that we know enough already. We don't need any more instruction, it argues. We don't need to gladly hear God's word by myself or in the divine service. The reason that we need to hear the third commandment is because today you are here, because today you care. But what about tomorrow? Will you still care? Will you still want to hold God's word, regard it sacred in your life, and gladly hear and learn it and put it into practice in your life? How many Christians do you know that at one time did that, and then later God's word didn't really mean that much to them, or they didn't think about it later? This is an important distinction. The habit of worship is beneficial because it is the way that we sanctify the rest that we have in Christ. But when worship becomes a habit that is a thoughtless exercise, or we begin to think that preaching and liturgy and singing and studying God's word and all those other things are tedious and dull and no longer necessary in my life, then there is great danger for our faith. What to do? Well, first of all, remember that we exist daily in the devil's kingdom. And so have the word of God. Hold that good news of Jesus, your Savior, in your heart and in your mind. Treasure it with all your strength. Regard it as holy, the one only treasure that you really need to have. Keep it in your heart and on your lips and in your ears. Because the Word of God is always effective. It always bears fruit. The Word of God is what will awaken in you new understanding, true pleasure and devotion, and pure thoughts. The Word of God is not dead or lazy. It is living and active and cuts to our hearts, as the writer to the Hebrews declares. In the Large Catechism, Martin Luther did a play on words on the word holy. And he talks in the Large Catechism about how people back then, and some people even today, consider relics, you know, pieces of the cross or a bone of a saint or the garment of the saint, that really is what sanctifies you. Or some people think, even today, that there are certain days, certain observances, certain actions or non-actions that sanctify us, that make us holy in God's eyes. Luther wrote in his own style about that, all that stuff is a dead thing that can sanctify no one. And then he added, but God's word is the treasure that sanctifies everything. This is not because of the outward work, but because of the word which makes saints of us all. By regarding the word of God, by regarding the rest that we have in Christ as sacred, and gladly hearing and learning it, we will drive away the devil. We will rest under the shadow of Christ's cross and peer with trust and gratitude into his empty tomb. Then we will avoid hypocrisy, no matter how brilliant in the eyes of men, and instead continue to contemplate our true Sabbath rest in Christ and put it into regular action. Amen.